All the countries of the world have got their own foreign trade policies for international trade. We in India also have our own exim policy known as our foreign trade policy. And this foreign trade policy is always prepared for a period of 5 years planning. Very transparent policy covering all aspects of international trade, especially looking at the world scenario or global scenario, and it will look to how best we can make ourselves more competitive in the international market. Our exim policy is primarily focused on increasing our exports of goods and services to raise our share in world exports from 2 to 3.5%. We have not yet reached 2%. We are still far below the world standard also. And we need to take giant strides in export. It is not the government who can do it. Government will only lay down the policy. It is for us, all of us who are interested in international trade. We have to take it forward by vast strides. We maintain several export promotion programs. India has got several export promotion programs. We have got so many export promotion agencies or councils, product-wise export promotion organizations, which help you in all your export promotion efforts. Government has created a lot of programs, including exemption from taxes for certain export-oriented enterprises. Most famous is the export-oriented unit, 100% export-oriented unit, or the free trade zones or export promotion zones, which have been created by the government, where all types of facilities of freely movement of goods is allowed without the duty structure affecting it. And also the special economic zones which have been created. This is a country, a foreign country within our own country. Economic zones are places where all local laws are not applied. It is treated as a foreign zone for all activities of international trade and investment. Numerous sectors like textile and apparel, paper, rubber, toys, leather goods, and wood products receive various forms of exemptions for exemption from duty for all raw material components required for export production. Of course, India maintains stock of food grains for distribution to poor and needy consumers, but also to stabilize prices through open market sale. We have huge stocks of grains, and this has helped us. This has helped the government in the times of this COVID-19 pandemic, where government opened all the granaries, surplus food that we had in our godowns. They were distributed to the poor and needy, free to poor, nominal rate applied to other needy consumers, and also during this period prices were stabilized by government bringing in these food products openly into the market. And therefore, during this period we have found that we have had no problem as far as our food grains are concerned. Procurement, yes, this is a policy which our government has adopted by helping our local industry. It is allowing a price preference for local suppliers in all government contracts. And smaller contracts, it does discriminate against foreign suppliers. But when there are large requirements of international purchases and international competitive bids for World Bank aided project, domestic companies get a price preference in government contracts and purchases. Of course, the government procurement practices and procedures will differently vary from country to country. From even our local state to state. Especially the MSME. Government provides maximum protection and preferences to micro, small and medium enterprises and to state-owned enterprises so that they are able to compete with large organizations. Moreover, our defense program, of course, to explain to you, our defense equipments are mostly imported, and therefore government has created a procurement policy that any large imports in any defense item, the required companies have got to invest 30% or more of the value of contracts above 3 billion rupees in Indian produced parts, equipments or services. Not only that, our governments have opened up the defense production to private enterprises in India, private manufacturers in India can now enter into defense production. In 2015, government mandated that 20% of its public procurement would be awarded to Indian-based micro, small and medium enterprises. Then, subsequently in 2017, our Indian government approved a public procurement policy which, while encouraging preferences for Indian manufactured goods with a view to promote make in India initiative. And this move is aimed at facilitating our local manufacturing. Not only our own manufacturers, but worldwide manufacturers, investors, they have been asked to come to India, make in India. And sell partly in India and export the rest as you want. This is giving a big boost to our domestic demand for locally manufactured products. Our national manufacturing policy calls for increased use of local content requirements in all government procurement, especially in sectors like information, communication, technology, and clean energy. These are the areas where we are moving very fast. India requires government entities to meet their needs for electronic products in part by purchasing domestically manufactured goods. Today you will find that majority of the mobile phones that you would be using will be manufactured in India totally, including their parts. Service barriers India has created, yes, restrictions. Service barriers on certain sectors like insurance, banking, securities, motion pictures, accounting, construction, architecture and engineering, retailing, legal services, express delivery services and telecommunication. Why? Because basically, Indian government has got a strong ownership presence in these industries. But slowly, the government is also taking steps to open up these industries, not only for Indian entrepreneurs to enter into it in leaps and bounds, but also foreigners bringing in foreign direct investments, which becomes a must for entering these industries, service industries. Foreign investment in India in certain major service sectors, including financial services and retail, is subject to limitation on foreign equity. There is a limit applied. Foreign participation in professional services is significantly restricted, especially in the case of legal services, which are prohibited entirely. We do not want legal services of foreign countries. We have our own sufficient lawyers and judges. We don't want foreigners as participants in these professional services. Other barriers, of course, our Indian government continues to put a limit on foreign direct investments in sensitive sectors such as retail, trade and agriculture. Not allowed. FDI on retail and agriculture is still not being allowed. Maybe over a period of time, it may be opened up. We also impose certain local content requirements for solar cells and modules, and require participation of solar power developers to use solar cells and modules made in India to enter into long-term power supply contracts and receive other benefits from Indian government. To improve availability of iron ore for local steel production, In March 2016, government enhanced and unified the rate of export duty for all types of non-iron ore, for all types of iron ore other than pellets. Now, pellets are, of course, purified iron ore, which demands a higher premium rate. But basic iron ore, we are mining it in large quantities. Till now, we were exporting iron ore, our basic raw material, we were exporting in large quantities. But 2016 onwards, government has placed a strong cap control that export of iron ore will attract an export duty of 20%. That basically means export of iron ore will be costly by 20%. Now, this export duty has impacted the international market for raw materials used in steel production. That is our objective. We are now moving to export manufactured steel products more and more in the international market, not basic iron ore. So that we get additional value addition, and our labor also is utilized. Our manufacturers are also getting the added benefits. Lack of transparency with respect to new and proposed laws and regulations is affecting the traders. This remains a big problem. Till now, due to lack of uniform notice and commitment procedures. And this hurts the ability of traders and foreign governments to provide input on new proposals or to adjust to new requirements. In 2014, our Law and Justice Ministry issued a policy guideline on pre-legislative consultation. That means before a law could become a law, there has got to be a minimum level of open consultation. Proposal has to be submitted to the cabinet and other departments for consideration and approval. It requires the central government entity to publish draft legislation or a summary of information concerning the proposed legislation for a minimum period of 30 days. And within these 30 days, various objections can be raised by trade, various bodies, NGOs, even individuals who have a stake in that particular legislation. And after studying all these cross complaints and suggestions, a final legislation is passed by the government. This is spread through the electronic media and has been encouraged as a policy for public consultations. Let us look at the impact of these trade barriers. International trade increases the number of goods that domestic consumers can choose from, which decreases the cost of those goods through increased competition. It allows domestic industry to ship their products abroad, while these effects seem beneficial. Free trade isn't widely accepted as completely beneficial to all parties. No, even today, most of the countries don't find free trade to be beneficial. And therefore, a tariff as a tax is levied which adds to the cost of imported goods. And is one of the several trade policies that a country can enact. Tariffs on imports coming into India, for example, are collected by the Indian Customs acting on behalf of the Finance Ministry of Government of India. Any goods being imported into India passes through the customs, and customs duty has got to be paid by the importer before they can clear the goods, and this goes into the Indian government treasury. The entire amount goes to the government treasury. Unfortunately, for some consumers, both individual consumers and business, higher import prices mean higher prices for the goods. Yes, that is inevitable. The effect of tariffs and trade barriers on business, consumers, and the government shifts over a period of time, depending on the changes made either in the exempt policy or in the different finance bills which are declared every year by the government from time to time. Trade barriers are often criticized for the effect they have on the developing world, because rich countries set trade policies. Goods such as crops that developing countries are best at producing still face very high barriers. Trade barriers on food imports or subsidies for farmers in developed countries lead to overproduction in that country and dumping it on the world market, thus lowering the price of our own farm produce, which hurts our poor farmers. And that is why the government says no on food imports. We cannot afford to hurt the farmers, because they are the people who give us our food. You will recall that in the when we were getting independence, at that time 90% of the workforce were farmers. Over a period of time, people have migrated to other businesses, but even today we are still dependent to the extent of nearly 60% on farm produced by these farmers. Trade barriers may be a combination of conformity and pre-shipment requirements requested abroad and weak inspection or certification procedures at home. If we have our own weak laws, other countries will tell us to apply certain strict conditions. Therefore, before exporting or importing to other countries, firstly, you must be aware of restrictions that the government imposes on the trade in our country. Subsequently, you need to make sure that you are not violating the restrictions by checking related to regulations on tax or duty by other countries. Finally, you may probably need a license to ensure smooth export of import process and reduce the risk of penalty or violation. Sometimes the situation becomes very much complicated with changing of policy and restrictions of a country. That is where you have got to be very careful if you really want to go onto international trade to a very great extent. This is an area where you have to always keep a sharp eye open. Rule of tariff play in international trade has declined in modern times, no doubt about it. And one of the primary reasons is the introduction of international organizations like WTO. They are designated to improve free trade. Such organizations make it very difficult for a country to levy tariffs and taxes on imported goods. And they can reduce the likelihood of retaliatory taxes. Multilateral agreements between governments increase the likelihood of tariff reduction. Of course, basically, free trade benefits consumers through increased choice and reduced prices. No doubt, yes, this is a good factor which everybody would like to have. What's the impact of balance of trade? Trade balance is a component of GDP, yes. It influences the total size and composition of the current account balance and the balance of payments. Long-lasting trade deficit can lead to foreign debt on which a country has to pay interest. If this debt is judged by market agents as unsustainable, a currency crisis can erupt. Even before this perceptive materializes, the government can be induced to dampen growth. Trade imbalances are widespread throughout the world and persistent over time. In order to reduce the gap with rich countries, poor countries have to rise much faster than them. Look at the business cycle behavior. A continuous surplus represents underutilized resources that could otherwise be contributing toward a country's wealth. That means ensure that you don't underutilize your resources. They should be directed toward the purchase of production of goods or services. Of course, accumulated surplus in a country may produce sudden and uneven changes in the economies of those countries, due to which the surplus is eventually spent. Developing countries in particular have difficulty in maintaining surpluses, since the terms of trade during periods of recession work against them. They have to pay relatively higher prices for the finished goods they import, but receive relatively lower prices for their export of raw materials or unfinished goods. This has a direct influence on the currency also. Balance of trade influences currency exchange rates through its effect on the supply and demand of foreign exchange. When a country's trade account does not net to zero, there is relatively more supply or demand for a country's currency, which influences the price of that currency in the world market. Why? Because currency exchange rates are quoted as a relative value. The price of one country, one currency, is described in terms of another currency. These relative values are influenced by demand for currency, which is again influenced by the trade. If a country exports more than imports, there is a high demand for its goods and thus for its currency, of course. Economies of supply and demand dictate that when demand is high, prices rise and the currency appreciates in value. Trade influences the demand of currency, which helps drive currency prices. Basic attractiveness of exports from that country also grows as a country depreciates. This begins to affect the balance of trade. And a trade surplus might result from a country attempting to depreciate its exchange rate to boost competitiveness. Keeping the exchange rate down might be achieved by currency intervention by a nation's central bank like Reserve Bank of India in India. That is selling their own currency and accumulating reserves of foreign currency. I want you to read the difference between balance of trade and balance of payment. I've already explained to you during this entire chapter. Read and compare the both in a nutshell. You have got it before you. Now go back to the very first slide where I gave you a chart and start a study. Closely look at that chart. It will give you an insight of the balance of trade. With the recent happenings that we have seen, let us now look at them one by one, how they have affected the balance of trade. Let's look at the first stage, that is the China-United States trade war. China and United States trade war has caused significant damage across global economies. It has affected global economy to a very great extent. Why? Because the United States began setting tariffs and other trade barriers on China to force it to make certain changes. And it is due to the trade deficit that is America felt that it is having a trade deficit. Their theft of intellectual property and the forced transfer of American technology from America to China. Of course, this has also affected other countries. In other countries also, it has caused economic damages due to transport and energy price surges. Some countries have benefited from increased manufacturing to fill the gap arising out of the United States' incapacity to manufacture the goods. The downturn of consumerism and manufacturing from the trade war is believed to have worsened the economic crisis that we are seeing today. The next factor is, of course, the most common COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 crisis has affected worldwide economic activities, resulting in a drop in global commerce. All global activities, there is a drop. Several demand and supply mismatches caused by the pandemic have been spread internationally through the trade. A lot of mismatch has occurred. And the impact of COVID-19 has induced deceleration on GDP, that is gross domestic produce. And the trade reveals contrasting trends over here. All countries' GDP has been affected. Merchandise trade, of course, has shown incipient signs of revival. Yes, international trade was virtually coming to a standstill during this period. And even today, recovery in services trade is yet to gain traction as subdued cross-border tourism and travel restrictions due to lockdown home of people not moving out. Tourism and travel restrictions were placed. People could not move out of their house. Global trade recovery felt in select sectors, especially the medical equipment and electronic products. Why? Because work from home created an impact in the electronic products being required more and more. Medical equipments were required to combat the pandemic. impediments to revive of global trading activities is the disruption in global supply chains with steep increase in shipping cost. Why? Because shipping movement, transportation was greatly affected during this period. Entire supply chain was disrupted, due to which shipping costs increased 5 times, 8 times, 10 times than the normal supply chain requirements. Next, we see the Russia-Ukraine war. The war was due to tension in the gas sector. Today, on account of this war, Russia is the most sanctioned country in the world. Greatest number of sanctions have been placed on Russia. United States and European countries and many other countries have banned the import and export of certain products to make their standpoint very clear. There should not be a war with Ukraine. Restrictions on exports to Russia have focused on dual use technologies, including semiconductors, aviation, aerospace, oil and gas production, and luxury goods. Sanction embargo was placed on the Russian economy. Several Russian factories reportedly have suspended their production because they cannot access the necessary foreign parts and suppliers. That means their local manufacturing, local supplies, local consumers were also hit. Their companies cannot access essential goods and services also, which they needed from other countries. Their consumers cannot access popular international products. Why? Because sanctions are set in place. Russia and Ukraine both are major exporters of several commodities. As a result, the war has triggered large surges and volatile in the prices of these commodities. High level increases have been seen. Russia is the world's largest exporter of wheat, natural gas, palladium, nickel, and fertilizers. As we in India also have been buying quite a lot of fertilizers from Russia. We have also felt the pinch. On the other side, Ukraine is the largest exporter of seed oil, primarily used in cooking, and is also the fourth largest exporter of corn. Ukraine could not export this, so prices, world prices went on increasing. Due to this war, energy and agricultural commodity prices have surged globally. Globally, you have seen an increase in the prices of these commodities. Price increases have been large for commodities where Russia and Ukraine are key exporters. They have been largest exporter of certain commodities, and that is where the price impact has been the greatest. Yes, India has been impacted. Let us see the impact on India. Russia is one of the biggest suppliers of defense products and equipment to India. But India and Russia have a bilateral payments which are made in Indian rupee for both import and export. The exchange rate is directly between Indian rupees and the Russian ruble, without the American currency getting into the picture. And therefore, sanctions by the West has not impact on the payments, barring exchange rate fluctuation. trade restrictions on food commodities should be avoided since they are leading to exacerbate global food prices. Many countries have gone to WTO to try to get the food prices under control. Here, efforts are needed to ensure uninterrupted trade in especially agricultural products. Policy actions to boost productivity of farmers and entrepreneurs should include targeted support to producers to cope with the rising prices. That is the need of the hour.
Thank you.